Okay, so we're starting at the review of yesterday's Daf Taf Lamed Daled at where are we starting? At the Maskif LaRami Bar Chama, a few lines up on Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis. Have in mind that Erlang should be a schus for the Yidden Eretz Yisrael, the Chayalim, the Yilui Nishmas, Bas Ami, Bas Yishleim Mezalme, Nirmiyahu, and, Sar Bas Menachem, Yitzchak Keshe Ben Avram Gedalia. Also have a mind for Shlema for Miriam Baset Yizisel, Yitzchak Ben Yael Zahava, Dvar Bas Chai Rachel, Hadas Bas Ronya.
And all those good guys.
Oh, Tzvito Ben Chasha.
Yisrael.
Oh, that's right, Yisrael.
Yoshua
Ben Mina, right? Chava Bez Dali Hinda and Shoshana Goldenbracha Bas Yael Rina, all Shav for Shlema. All right, so we're starting at the major question that Rami Bar Chama asked, bottom of the page on Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis. He says, how can this whole system work that the person is granted that? Isn't there such a thing? I mean, Ein Odom Makne Dovish Haloi Bala Olam. How can a person grant something that's not in this world? So he's granting him the Kefel. It's so many steps removed. Even if you hold like Rameir, who says Adam Makne Dovish Haloi Bala Olam, it's only by something like the fruit of a palm tree, which is expected. It's something that's an expected thing. As opposed to over here, there's so many things that have to happen. First of all, who says it's even going to be stolen? And even if it is stolen, who says that we're going to catch the thief? That's a big if. And even if you catch him, who says that he's going to have to pay double? Maybe he'll admit that he's the ganav, and then he'll free himself from having to pay double. So there's so many chances that this is not going to actually pan out. So how is there a king in here? That's the question. So we saw, Rava says that it's as if he says that when it gets stolen, then you decide that you would rather pay, so I'm selling you, I'm giving this cow to you from now on. So in other words, but the condition is the payment, but the transaction is on the actual cow itself. That's the thing. And that's why he's entitled to the cow. If he's entitled to the cow, he's entitled to the gevel. That's the idea. So the problem with that is that then the shearing and the vladas should also go to the and to the shomer. And we know that's not true. That it's excluding the shearings and the vladas and the offspring. So Rav Zera says, it's as if he said, the cow sold to you, but not the shearing and not the vlados. He's excluding it out. Why would he exclude that out? Because any improvement that's coming internally, that's he's not willing to give up. But anything that's coming from the outside, that's more willing. He's more willing to give up. Okay, that's one expression, one explanation. Then we saw another version of Rava, who says that it's as if he says that when it's stolen and you pay, right before it was stolen, I'm being mocking it. This avoids the question of Zera, because the transaction is not happening till the moment right before the theft. But the other factor is that if it's not in his possession at the time, then that kinyan doesn't work. It only works if he's mocking it and it's in his possession, because otherwise how is he making the kinyan? It needs to be in his property. Then we saw, if the guy chose to pay, he paid and didn't want to swear. So Rabbi said there, Rabbi Yochanan, that when it says pay here, it doesn't mean actual pay. It means it's good enough if he says, I am ready to pay, I'm willing to pay. That's as good as paying. That's the idea. How do you read that into the Mishnah? Doesn't the Mishnah say, Shilim b'loy ratzi lishava? He paid and didn't want to swear. Sounds like that you have to pay, and saying pay is not enough. Problem is that in the Sefer it says he swore and didn't want to pay, so which implies that if he had wanted to pay, meaning he said Harenu Mishalim, even though he did not actually pay, that's good enough. So the Mishnah is inconclusive. It could be read either way. Both diukim are there. So we brought a brisa saying exactly like Rabbi Yochanan teaches, because it says that a person rents a cow from his friend and it gets stolen. And he said, I am Hareini Mishalim, and I'm not swearing, I'm going to pay. So and then they found the Ganav, so the kefil is paid to the Socher. So it's very clear that just on the Hareini Mishalim, that's good enough. So Rav Papa says that by Hashem Chinam, just once he says the word Pashati, that's basically saying that he's taking culpability here. He's saying that then he's already entitled to the kefil, because he could have said that it was a Geneva. He could have made, even so, in other words, it's not only, as long as he's claiming guilt, that's irrelevant whether, you know, what the story is, that's enough to be granted the kefil. Same is true by Shama Sachar, who said that it was a Geneva. He also is entitled to the kefil because he could have said that it was onus, and he didn't say onus. A shoel, however, that says, I'm going to pay, that's not entitled to the kefil, because after all, what could he have said to claim that he's not obligated? That it died by it died while I was using it, you know, which is the only thing that he could use to pater himself. This is so uncommon, and therefore we don't assume that. That's version A of Rav Papa. Version B of Rav Papa is that even a shoel, since he could have, I mean, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, he had something that he could have said to free himself, so then even just saying that he'll pay is also enough. Rav Zvid actually said that you should know what Abaye says on this. He says that the halacha by shoel, it's not good enough to say you'll pay, you have to actually pay. And the reason is because since he actually gets all the benefit of the use of the object, whatever he borrowed, words are cheap, and payment, actual payment, is the only thing that entitles him to anything. Then we brought a brisa, exactly like Rav Zvid says. Why? Because it says that somebody who borrows a cow from his friend and it gets stolen, and the shoel went and paid, and then it found the ganav, then the kefil goes to the shoel. So version A of Rav fits with this also, because in version A, he says that Hareini Mishalim is not enough, but Shilei maybe is different. But Lishna Basra is a disproof. So the Gemara says, maybe Rav Papa will tell you that just like in the Mishnah, we were ready to translate that when it says Shilei, it means I am ready to pay. It doesn't mean that he's actually paying. Same thing here. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's another word here. It says Kidem Mishalim. The Gemara says, that doesn't prove anything. It could be Kidem and said that he'll pay. He quickly said that he'll pay. Took responsibility. So the Gemara says, but look, it's so different the way it says by the Socher that he says that he said, and by the Shoel it says Kidim. Obviously, it's specifics. The Gemara says, who says that those two prices are written right next to each other? And then they actually asked around the people who study the prices, and they said actually they were written right next to each other. So then it is a fair deal that actually is the case. So, if the guy says, I'm going to pay, and then he changes, first he says, I'm not going to pay, then he changes his mind to say that he will pay, that's for sure counts as paying. He says, I'm going to pay. But if the guy says, first, I am going to pay, and then he went ahead and said, I'm not paying, so there's another way to look at that. Is he actually retracting and saying, I'm not responsible? Or he's saying, he already said, I'm going to pay. We assume that he really is going to stand by that. When he means that he says he's not paying, he's meaning he's not paying right now. He's pushing off till he gets the funds ready, meaning he doesn't have the money right now. But he still intends to actually pay. And that's a suffix. Next question. Guy says, I'm going to pay. And then he dies. And the kid said, we're not paying. Our father is going to pay. We don't have to do with it what he said that he'll do. Or do we say no? They don't. They can't. When if they say they're not paying, they don't mean they're not paying. They're just being madka, because they're going to want to do what their father said that he'll do. They're respectful of their father, and they're going to want to fulfill the father's wishes. So, what if the sons did pay? Can the person, the owner, say, Now you think I granted kefil to your father. He did me favors. To you, what you guys ever do for me? I never granted it to you. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, you could say, what if payment was paid to the children? Can the children say, our father was the one who granted kefil, but now he's dead. We're not interested in giving you guys kefil. You kefil. And then you could ask, what about sons to sons? What about a partial payment? What about two cows and paying one of the cows? What about borrowing from partners and paying only one of the partners? What about partners that borrowed and one of the partners that borrowed paid?
More questions, less no answer.
What about somebody who borrowed from a lady and paid to the husband? What about a woman who borrowed and her husband paid? Do those things count as payment? Do they grant them the kefil? Don't they grant them the kefil? Partial kefil, these are all what we say questions worthy of consideration and take. Okay. Next, we saw Rav Huna said that that there's an additional shvua. Even if the guy said that he'll pay, that's not good enough for us. We're not satisfied with that. We make him take a shvua that it's not pishusay, because we're choshish. Then maybe the guy's so quick to pay, but that's because he really wants that item, and he's like buying it, so to speak. So the shaila on that is this: we talked about a loan that's with collateral. So somebody lends somebody else, I don't know, $1,000, and the guy provides a collateral, and the lender lost the collateral. So now the question is, what's the value of the collateral? So so there's a few cases. The lender says that the value, what I lent you was a seller, and what you gave me as collateral is a shekel, so you owe me, which is a half a seller, so you owe me
another shekel.
You owe me a shekel for the other half. And the other guy says, no, you lent me a seller, my collateral was a seller, we're even, Steven, I don't owe you a dime. Okay? So he's potter, because he's not moda b'miksa, he's not even admitting in part. If the guy says that it was a seller and it was worth a shekel, and the other guy says, no, it was a seller that you lent me, but it was worth 3 dinarim, and I still owe you 1 dinar, I'm admitting to 1 dinar that I owe you, so then he's going to have to swear. If the guy says, the borrower says, look, you lent me a seller, but my collateral is worth 2 slums, so now you owe me an additional seller. And the other guy says, no, what I lent you was a seller, your collateral was a seller, we're even, Stephen. So he doesn't owe him anything, because he's not admitting in part. But if he said, you lent me a seller, but it was worth 2, and he says, no, it wasn't worth 2, but it was worth 5 dinar, which is 1 1/4, 1.25. Mm-hmm. So then he's admitting to a chelik of that amount. So then he's going to have to swear. Who swears? That's the question. So he says the one who's holding the pekatan, meaning the lender in this case, because he's the one who has the collateral. He was given the collateral, the one that's allegedly lost. Why? Because we're worried that if the borrower would swear, the other guy will produce the pekatan, and that will create a huge balagan. Ha ha, you said it's worth double. Look, we have it right here, and it's not worth double. You're lying. We prove that you're a liar. You're not, besides for having milk on your face, you're not believed anymore. So we're worried about that. Now, the question is, which case is that referring to? It's not referring to the last case, because that's the case that the lender anyways is the one who's supposed to swear, because he's the one who's made the b'mitzvah. He said it's 1 1/4, the other guy says it's 2. I admit that I owe you some, and you say that I owe you more, so I'm the one who's admitting to you. But so Shmuel says it's going on the resha, meaning the seifa of the resha, where the guy says, I lent you a seller and it's worth a shekel, so therefore you still owe me a shekel. And the other guy says, no, you lent me a seller and it was worth 3 dinarim, which means that all I owe you is another dinar. Who really should swear is the borrower over here, because he's admitting in part to partial owing. And the rabbanon say that the lender is the one who swears instead, because we're afraid that if the borrower will swear to its value, the lender will produce the pikadon. And that is the palm kasha that we're asking on Rav Huna, is that if Rav Huna is correct, so once the lender has to already swear that he doesn't have the thing anymore in his rishos, which he's going to have to swear, how can he produce it? He's basically going to perjure himself to do that. And that is where we left off yesterday. So that's a review.